You are listening to The News Project, in studio. Brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director at GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Monday, May 3rd. It's also a great pleasure to be joined today by Ashley Moore, who is the executive director for the Alliance for a Better Vermont. And she's joining us today to talk a little bit about what the organization does and some of the issues they're following around the state. And so, Ashley, great to have you with us today. Thank you so much for making the time for this conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be back.
Maybe the place for us to start is to have you tell us a little bit about the Alliance for a Better Vermont. What do you do? What's the mission and the purpose of the organization?
Yeah, so Alliance for a Better Vermont, we're a fairly new organization. And in a nutshell, what we do is work to elevate voices of Vermonters on important issues in the state in order to move an agenda that supports a more prosperous and resilient future for Vermont. We know that Vermonters value our natural environment, the health and well-being of our families and local economy, the interconnectedness of our communities, and we really work to bring together Vermonters to amplify their voices on policies that uphold these values and vision for Vermont and also lift up elected officials and candidates who share this vision and value and these values. And ultimately, the goal is to ensure that Vermont's a place where future and current generations can thrive and that we're building, like I said, a more prosperous and resilient future for the state.
All right. Well, what do you see as the main challenges and opportunities facing the state as we hopefully emerge out of the whole COVID pandemic? I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that. I don't want to say that too loudly, but assuming current trends continue and by the 4th of July or thereabouts, we're sort of at least semi back to quote unquote normal. What do you see as the big issues facing the state as we emerge out of this past year or so?
Well, so I'm sure a lot of these issues will sound very familiar to you and folks who are tuning in. So we know that the COVID-19 pandemic in particular has really exacerbated many of the challenges that Vermonters have already been facing, particularly around access to high quality, affordable childcare, healthcare, high-speed, reliable internet, and supports for our local small business economy, and access to democracy, specifically voting access. And so issues that had preceded the pandemic, there are a lot of advocacy groups in the state who have really brought to light a lot of the challenges that people have been having around these issues. In fact, we also did a statewide survey in September 2020 of Vermonters on a variety of issues to try to identify which ones were most pertinent to folks. And many of these were on that list. And so I think really the place that we're in right now is that we have this really once in a lifetime opportunity with all of these federal funds coming into the state and Vermont having about $1 billion to spend and to invest in issues in our communities and to build this more resilient and brighter future for Vermont. And so our focus has really been on elevating voices of Vermonters on these issues and working with our legislature to make sure that things move forward this legislative session. Thankfully, we have a really fantastic legislature. We have fantastic legislative leadership who they've made these issues a priority even before the pandemic and have really been laser focused this legislative session on childcare, on housing, on broadband and other issues. And so it's really exciting to see that we're really seizing this opportunity to make really strategic long-term investments in our communities.
That's sort of a good segue to next question I just wanted to run by you is what you saw as the major lessons learned from this pandemic. A while back, we did a little bit of a series on this program about lessons learned and talked to four or five groups of people, to get their takeaways from that. And a lot of it was similar to what you just said, broadband, childcare, remote working, education sort of fell into that. But I just wondered, before we move on to kind of look at some specific bills that the legislature is working on, are there one or two things that come to mind as being, really major, as I say, lessons learned from this whole experience of the past 13 or 14 months?
Well, I think from my perspective, the pandemic really highlighted the haves and have-nots in Vermont and what is preventing people from having equal access to opportunity. I think broadband is a perfect example that once the pandemic hit Vermont and, Vermont was on lockdown, a lot of communities went from fully in-person learning to fully remote or partially remote. A lot of communities shifted to fully remote work. We saw issues where people already, as I mentioned, couldn't find access to high quality, affordable childcare, and that became worse. We've heard stories of people who have had to leave their jobs and stay home with their children because of this. And so I think the pandemic really exacerbated these issues that we were already facing, and particularly with broadband. We saw that there was already this existing digital divide in Vermont, but because of all of these factors, that it became incredibly even worse for folks, that people have had to work from their cars with their children to do remote learning, or had to work from their cars to be able to access their jobs. I've actually had to do that a few times because I live in a rural part of the state. And so I think it really brought to light that these are issues that we can't keep kicking down the road. And I don't say that as a criticism that it wasn't important for folks, but I think for folks in the legislature, but I think it really emphasized that, we, like I said, we have this once in a lifetime opportunity with funds coming in from the federal government, and we need to be really targeted about the about where we're spending those money, at where we're spending that money. And it's been really great to see that there has been such a laser focus on childcare, on broadband, and on other issues that have really, emphasized the who the haves and have-nots are, and what's created those conditions for people in the state, particularly in rural parts of the state. So I really think, to me, that has been some of the biggest lessons learned, and it's great to see so much action.
Mm, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Well, what's some of the main activity in the legislature that you've been following, or the Alliance has been following since January? I mean, you mentioned childcare a moment ago. I think the Senate just passed or voted in favor of H-171, I think, was the childcare bill, which I guess now goes to the governor for a signature. My understanding is I haven't heard anything to the effect that he might not sign it or is hesitating about it in one way or another. But I would imagine you would view that as a fairly significant piece of legislation to get passed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's high quality, affordable childcare is something we've been following. We've been following a variety of different healthcare bills and reproductive rights proposals, broadband, like I mentioned. We've been following some climate bills as well, and then access to democracy, mostly S-15, which is a bill that proposes to make mail-in voting a permanent feature of Vermont's general elections moving forward. That just passed out of the House Government Operations Committee on Friday night, actually. So there has been momentum on all of these initiatives. As you mentioned, H-171 passed the Senate with unanimous support. It had already passed the House earlier in the session, so they'll have to just work out the differences before it goes to the governor. There have been initiatives to expand access to telehealth, which is, incredibly important for obvious reasons. and Prop 5, which you may have heard a lot about, which would which proposes to guarantee personal reproductive liberty for all Vermonters and include that in Vermont's constitution. So that passed the Senate and is expected to be taken up in the House next year before going to the ballot in 2022 for Vermonters to vote. The broadband bill passed the House earlier this year. I think it was near unanimous vote. And that's something that the Senate has been working on. There is a bill, there are two bills in a committee in the Senate right now. And it's expected that a bill pass the Senate Finance Committee this week. It's unclear if that's going to make it through the Senate this year. Maybe it would come up next year. It's still a little bit of a question mark, but regardless, it's an enormous priority for both the House and the Senate. And it's great to see all of the proposed investments in broadband. And then a variety of climate bills. There's a bill that would ban PFAS in certain products, which is basically a toxic chemical. And that's been moving through the legislature as well. And we've been following, you know, investments in climate-related initiatives in both the House and Senate budgets. And then access to democracy, as I mentioned, S-15, which should be making it to the House floor this legislative session, and hopefully we'll make it to the governor and be passed. So there's a lot of really exciting work being done, and we've really been working to, you know, bring the power of Vermonters behind all of this. We do a lot of digital communications to engage with folks and really elevate the need behind these issues and the why, and kind of promote this collective vision. And so it's been, you know, it's been a really challenging year for folks with the pandemic, but it's also incredibly exciting to see what's making its way through the legislature and the impact that these policies are going to have on Vermont in the short and long term.
I wonder if you've come to an opinion about whether or not the governor's idea of kind of consolidating all of the federal funds, roughly $1 billion in federal money coming to the state into one bill, you know, and targeting things like broadband, affordable housing, childcare, and a few other climate change or climate and energy being another in one, versus what the legislature seems to be wanting to do, which is to spend it a little more slowly and spread it out over, I think, 3 or 4 years. Do you think one approach or the other kind of is better or makes more sense, or won't make much difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm really supportive of the legislature's approach. They've done so much work, as I said, this year since they kicked off in January, and even before that, even though the legislative session is generally January through May, we know that they work year round. So I'm really supportive of the work and that they've been doing in their approach in their committees to make really strategic investments in all of these issue areas, and also recognizing that we have this $1 billion approximately from the American Rescue Plan Act, and we have about 4 years to decide how we want to spend that money. And it really is great that we have this time to be thinking really carefully about the decisions that we make, and being able to respond to the need as things change over the next months or years. And so, you know, I think it's fantastic the way the legislature has been approaching it. And, you know, I do think that they've been working for months on where they want to make their investments. The legislature is coming to a close. And so it is a little bit late for the governor to be kind of rolling out a proposal of where funds should be spent when, you know, the legislature has been working for months on figuring out how to allocate funds strategically. So that's my perspective.
One other quick legislative question I wanted to run by you is the whole business of where the broadband situation stands, because it's been kind of confusing to me trying to watch it from afar. I mean, there have been a couple of proposals to spend, you know, I can't remember now off the top of my head, but significant amount of money. I mean, when I think back to a year ago, and first began to kind of get my arms around how expensive it was going to be to fully build up the capacity for broadband around the state, particularly in some of the more rural and underserved areas. And I remember hearing numbers like $300-400 million to fix all of that, and thinking, well, that's a good 10 years before we get there. And now all of a sudden, like almost by magic, we have all this federal money right in that ballpark to spend on broadband. But I guess I just wondered if the most likely route to getting there is going to be through that. I think the legislature had a bill where they're setting aside $150 million to put into broadband.
Yep.
Is that bill going to make it to the the finish line, or where does that stand?
Yeah, so it's always so hard to talk about bill details during a legislative session, as we were kind of chatting about earlier, because things are constantly changing and evolving, and bills are never, a bill that passes the House never makes it through the Senate. Or I should not say never, but such a large bill, it would be very rare for it to make it through the Senate without changes. But yes, the House passed a bill earlier in the session, I think it maybe was in March, that proposed to invest $150 million in broadband build-out. That bill is currently in Senate finance along with a Senate broadband bill, and undergoing conversations about, a variety of different things related to the build-out and how it would be structured and the timeline and so on and so forth. But the Senate did pass their budget last week, which included a roughly $100 million as well in broadband. And so, there's still several weeks before the session closes. The bill may, one of the bills or some combination of the bills could pass the Senate Finance Committee this week. And then, there's still a lot of questions around exactly what the details of that will be, but it's clear to me that both bodies have made it a pretty significant priority and have, are walking the walk and investing, making investments a priority. So, it's still a question of exactly what the final bill is going to look like that ultimately makes it to the governor. But it's pretty clear that it's a pretty significant priority.
What's it been like working with the legislature this past year? I mean, in the past, when I've seen you at the State House, you've been there, kind of buttonholing legislators and trying to kind of get their attention and all of that. But now, this past year, that's all been online and done remotely, I assume, or you attend committee meetings, via your laptop or whatever, as opposed to being in the same comfy little room. How has that been? What's that been like, I guess? Has a major job easier, or has it been more problematic?
Well, there are pros and cons. In my previous roles, I was a lead advocate on several bills, one of the bills being paid family and medical leave. And so being in the building was incredibly crucial because, you're spearheading this initiative. You're needing to stay in touch with bill sponsors and legislative leadership consistently. And so it was different in that sense. In the role that I'm in now, it's more high level and, digital communications, as I said. So it's slightly easier to be in this role and not be in the building. But it's hard. I mean, I honestly feel for legislators because we know we have a citizen legislature and folks don't have staff and they were used to being able to, check things off their list by having a conversation with an advocate for 3 minutes in the State House cafeteria. And now, it's a phone call or emailing to schedule a time to meet, and they're in committee meetings all day and, working from probably 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And so it can be harder to have a conversation. And I think in many ways they've been it's just been incredibly challenging for their schedules to fit things in. But I think the pros are, I think having access to committees virtually is really great. And I honestly think the legislature should figure out a way to do that permanently, even when session resumes, so that it can be, committee meetings can be more easily accessed by Vermonters. So it's great to be able to, you know, if I have a meeting that conflicts with a committee schedule, it's okay, because I can go back to that later. And that wasn't something, you know, before. I would, if there was a committee meeting on a bill that I was working on, I had to be in that room. Otherwise, you know, you risk missing a really important conversation and or really important decision. And so now it's great to be able to just kind of go back and also go back if you missed a detail, because things are constantly moving really quickly. And so being able to go back and say, wait, what was that they did again? But there are pros and cons. I mean, I definitely love being in the building and being surrounded by a bunch of people doing really great work and being able to have those conversations. And so there are pros and cons.
Yeah. It's been interesting to me to hear some of the legislators say, you know, well, you know, and we would have been able to fix the difference between the Senate and the House bill over a cup of coffee in the cafeteria or something like that, you know, back in the good old days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the same time saying, well, it's great that we, the same point you just made, that, you know, you could then follow multiple meetings without having to be physically present in all of them.
Yeah.
It's interesting to kind of see how that, all that plays out. Mm-hmm. I guess I just wanted to ask you, we were sort of talking about this earlier, but, you know, as we've all noticed, Vermont has seen a bit of an in-migration of folks coming here from other states, and the real estate market having a moment. I guess I just wondered if you had any thoughts on how important it was that sort of sustains itself, and the people who may have come here over the past year, you know, kind of make Vermont a more or less a permanent home rather than kind of a weekend place when they we'll go back to living in an urban area somewhere. And I guess the second point is if that were to even continue and keep on going. I mean, we saw the census information come out recently where Vermont grew by 2.8%, which I guess was a pleasant surprise for the governor, who was expecting something worse than that. But that still leaves us right down at the very bottom of the 50 states in terms of population growth.
Yeah.
How big of a deal is that, do you think, that the state is able to grow its population further?
Well, I think that's really important. And I think, just to get back to some of the questions you had asked me earlier, that this in-migration that we've been seeing during the pandemic has also exposed our limited housing supply in Vermont, or affordable housing. And so I think this has also drawn to light the need to invest in infrastructure in order to support that and to support Vermonters who are living here and can't afford or find housing. So I think it's great. I also think that there is this question for me around who we are supporting moving to the state. I think, you know, I assume you've had conversations with people about this over the years, that there have been efforts in parts of Vermont. I'm thinking also about Rutland City, which is where I grew up, to bring refugees into the state, that we're constantly talking about the need to bring more people into the state, that we have this aging population and we, you know, the shrinking tax base, and how are we going to support that over the years and have this thriving economy. And so, you know, there has been a reluctance from a lot of people to be welcoming, certain populations to the state. And I think that's a pretty significant issue that I think we have to work on. And I think it's going to be really challenging. And it's something that is going to be an issue, a community-based issue, and not necessarily a statewide issue. But I think that, you know, I'm just thinking when we're kind of celebrating this, this in-migration into Vermont of folks who are, you know, moving here and working remotely or in buying houses, and how great that is for the economy. But I also can't help but remember, you know, the ways that the response from some to welcoming, you know, immigrants, refugees, people of color. And I think that that's a huge problem for the future of Vermont. So so now I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but I just recognize that there's it's really important that we bring more people into Vermont and we recruit people and retain the people that we have here, but that we're also simultaneously supporting folks who live here who can't afford housing or find housing, and also welcoming, you know, BIPOC Vermonters, figuring out how to keep them here and support them, and you know, new Vermonters, refugees, immigrants. So that's my perspective a little bit on that in-migration issue.
I did want to just sort of ask you one that probably harkens back a bit to your former job there as the executive director of the Main Street Alliance, which is a national advocacy group. You headed up the Vermont chapter for small businesses. And I guess I just wondered, I'm not sure if what you're doing now with the Alliance kind of tracks in a similar way, but what is your sense of how small businesses are coping and managing to hang in there as we've gone along? Are there any aspects of that you've been following closely, or any concerns, or do you feel like, well, between the federal help and the pandemic receding, things would get back to a reasonable situation within at least a few months?
Well, I think, you know, when I was director of Main Street Alliance and I worked there for about 5 years, I was consistently talking with business owners from across the state about all the challenges that they see in their communities and that they identify with as a small business owner. And many of those issues are the same issues that we've already been talking about. You know, when they are talking about workforce development and getting people to come work for them and stay with them, then that's, you know, high quality, affordable childcare is needed to do that. And so a lot of these issues, I think, preceded the pandemic, have been exacerbated by the pandemic. But also, you know, I think business owners are obviously hurting. They've had to shut down operations. Many of them have had to shut down operations during the pandemic and are figuring out, you know, how to reopen and how to find, you know, how to rehire their workers. There's obviously been state and federal support for them, but that does not mean that they haven't still been having pretty significant challenges. So, but I think, you know, they've shown their resilience. It's pretty incredible to see the way that our business owners have been supporting their communities throughout the pandemic and figuring out ways to still stay open and support their communities. And so, and continue to employ Vermonters. So I think, yeah, I think they've had a lot of challenges. I think there's been a lot of great work in the legislature to support them. And I'm always rooting for them and hoping that they're, you know, they're going to be able to sustain their operations through this really turbulent time.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to leave it there for today. I'm sure there's a lot more we can talk about, but we'll save it for the next time. Or the next time we bump into each other at the State House and have a cup of coffee at the cafeteria.
Yes, that would be so lovely.
Looking forward to that. All right. Well, thanks again, Ashley, for being with us. Ashley Moore, the Executive Director of the Alliance for a Better Vermont. Thank you very much for your time today. And thanks to all of you as well for watching. And hope you found the program interesting. We'll see you again the next time. Meanwhile, have a great day.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.